Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Stevens?
Here.
Dr. Behrman is here, and Mr. Jones.
And I believe.
Did he call you?
Yeah, Mr. Jones did call, and he wasn't going to be there.
Can we excuse absence for the record?
Yes. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to read the February 11, 2010 minutes?
Yes.
Are there any changes? Chair would entertain a motion approving the minutes.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Would a member of the board like to share any ex parte communications that they may have had with any respondent or any party to any of the cases at this time? Thanks. Are there any members of council out in the audience who would like to come forward? We can dispose of your cases first. And for members, well, before I do that, excuse me just a moment. Let me have members of staff that are going to testify please come forward and be sworn.
Can I have this?
I do.
And for members of the audience, would you please place your cell phones on either silent, off, or vibrate mode, please? Okay. Members of council who are testifying, come forward.
Please read.
What case is it?
Good morning. This is number four.
Case number four. Case number four is CEB 1109200, Downtown Daytona 2000 Incorporated.
Edmund Waldron for the respondent. This matter has been on the calendar and has been continued today as the respondent has moved for compliance with the code provisions that have been referred to. The applications made by the respondent have been accepted by the city. We were informed last night that the city has approved everything that we have submitted. They have asked us to come in today to make final applications for the issuance of the permit. In addition, they informed us that the project is eligible for inclusion in the city's beautification program and that they are going to be working with us on the landscaping that's going to be included as part of this project and that they have approved. So while I can stand here today and tell you that any purported violations have been removed, the final permits have not been issued, and I would ask that this matter be continued until your next meeting so that I can present and put on the record the final permits for compliance.
Do you believe that it would be completed by our next cutoff date?
Yes, it may in fact be completed as early as next week.
Robert?
Well, I tried to get in contact with city staff and I couldn't find anybody very optimistic about this. Okay. But I did hear that he submitted his plan yesterday. I don't think anybody's looked at it yet, his latest plan. But in any case, I would move to amend it as well. Maybe it'll be clear by then.
It was my understanding that Colleen Miles would be here today to testify before the board about the approval of the plan. I'm sorry that the inspector wasn't able to get in contact with the people on staff. I don't see that she's arrived yet, but she did indicate that she would be in support of the application.
Okay, I just talked to Colleen, and she hasn't seen the latest plan. She's not real happy, but hopefully we can pay the second.
Well, I don't understand what's going on. We're getting two complete stories here. Either they told you that the permits were going to be taken care of, or they didn't tell you. We're having.
What I understand, he's submitted several plans, had some rejected, and he's trying to submit other plans that will be accepted.
So they weren't accepted.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think the permits and licensing hasn't accepted anything.
Can I suggest we put this matter off until I can bring a member in the city staff to correct the inspector?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You've admitted you haven't put your application not in, so you've admitted the application's not in yet.
No, only they've only approved the plans.
The next 30 days.
Yes.
Okay.
So in other words, he's asking for a continuance.
Next cut off.
Which will be April 1st. Robert, did you agree to that?
Yes, I think this should be clear by the next cutoff, and then I think.
We have, if there is, do we have to get here?
Yeah, well, if it's not good progress to my satisfaction, then I'll bring the staff to it. Good.
Thank you very much.
Hold on just a moment.
I would move that this case be continued to our next cutoff date.
Should be April 1st, 2010.
Yes.
We have a motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you.
No thanks.
Are there any other members of council present who will be representing respondents?
There is. But it is waiting for you, number one.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners. Good morning. My name is John Adjafi. I'm counsel for the respondent, Joe Ballard. This matter is in reference to a residential home located at 128.0 Woods Drive. A code enforcement fine in the amount of $204,000 has been imposed against my client's property.
It's about $134,000.
Okay.
There's an error on the agenda. The link to paperwork actually has the correct information. There's a typo on the agenda. So the correct in amount is on the front cover sheet.
Gotcha.
Okay.
133.7.
I thought that was my error, so so I guess we've started off on the right foot. We're down 75,000. By way of background, this home suffered roof and siding damage as a result of the hurricanes back in 2004. As a result, my client engaged Steve Ballard and Mason Residential Framing in order to conduct the repairs to the roof and siding. The contractors unfortunately failed to pull a permit for their work unbeknownst to my client. Shortly after my client spent over $55,000 attempting to repair the hurricane damage, the contractors abandoned the job, and in fact Steve Ballard unfortunately committed suicide. And I know that his suicide was reported in the press, and we attached a copy of the newspaper article to our application with, you know, as a supporting documentation. After that occurred, my client filed suit against the contractor seeking to recover the insurance monies that potentially would be available to them in order to recoup their $55,000 so they could hire another contractor in order to bring the home into compliance. This lawsuit is still pending, and unfortunately my client hasn't been paid anything. So, you know, after expending, you know, $55,000 to try and bring this property into compliance, they were under a severe financial hardship such that they were not able to engage another contractor in order to bring this property into compliance until, you know, about 6 months ago. The property now is in compliance. There are some other issues that they still need to address at the home, and, you know, are in a bad financial position such that they are not going to be able to pay the fine that's been imposed against them and, you know, bring this property back into a condition that's actually livable such that they can either sell it or rent it in order to pay off whatever fine the board decides to assess here today. So, you know, under the extenuating circumstances that, you know, I've stated here today and pursuant to the supporting documentation we've provided, we're pleading with the board to reduce the fine from $133,000 to $5,000, which would be a manageable amount for my client to be able to pay in order to also be able to, you know, finish the other repairs to the home. Because essentially all of this stuff that arose was completely outside of it was not the fault of my client. These are all things that happened that you know, were beyond their control. So, you know, because of that, we feel like it would be appropriate for a fine reduction in this case.
Barbara.
The city is in agreement of that, $5,000, reducing the lien to $5,000. I'd rather see him finish. It's not peeling paint or anything on the house. Excuse me. But I'd rather see him put in some more money and fix up the house and paint it. And I'm sure the neighbors would be happier with money going into the house than.
Any comments, questions by members of the board?
What's the progress of the litigation?
The progress of the litigation is we're trying to schedule a mediation right now. My firm initially handled the case, Schutz and Bowen, and then because of legal costs and my client's inability to fund the litigation, it was turned over to a contingency firm. And they handled the case for, you know, several years. They were not making much progress. So the case now came back to our firm, and we're just trying to get a mediation scheduled in order to try and settle the case. Since our client's financial situation is such that, you know, they're not really going to be able to, you know, take this case to trial. They're just going to try and take it to mediation and see what they can get out of it.
Mr. Ashby, what really took the client so long to get everything done, or at least moving?
It was solely due to their inability to pay for another contractor to come in, pull the permits, and do the work. The litigation, though, delayed the process as well because they kept thinking that they were going to get some money from an insurance company. That never came to fruition, and so they've been, you know, trying to scrounge up some money to pay a contractor to do the work.
Just to add, I do know that he is bartering to do the work now.
Yeah, this is Mr. Ballard.
Will you be testifying, Mr. Ballard?
I don't think it's necessary at this point unless you have any questions to ask.
The inspector has agreed that with the council that the lien review should be, the lien should be reduced to $5,000. Are there any comments by members of the board? Questions?
Is your client in a position to pay that within the next 30 days?
No. How much time do you guys need?
What about 90 days?
90 days. They're indicating to me that they would be able to pay it within 90 days.
And the reason that question is asked, because if the fine isn't paid within that time amount, it goes back to the original amount of time, amount of the fine.
Okay, I understand. I believe that they'll be able to pay it within 90 days.
Sure. Do we have a motion by any member of the board?
Yes, that the fine be paid within 90 days, or if not, the fine reverts to the original $133,000.
I'll second. That's at $5,000, correct?
Right, $5,000.
Yeah. Will interest continue to accrue, Ms. Himes?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Is there a cap? No. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about something different. I'm ahead.
Is there a paper you're asking? The continual accrual of interest, you mean on the plan $5,000 on the original amount if it's not paid?
And that's what I'm trying to ask for tonight, clarification as well.
Yeah. Right. If the original amount, if the $5,000 is not paid, then the interest would continue on the original.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Jackson. We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by other members of the board? Any members of the board?
I second.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. We have allowed we reduced the lien to $5,000 payable within 90 days. Of course, with the understanding that if it's not paid within 90 days, we'll revert back to the original amount, and interest will continue to accrue.
Understood. Thank you very much for your time.
Lien review number two is CB0408112. That's 1524 Florida Street, Lindell Smith. Former owner was, well, the new owner's Deutsche Bank. Anyone present? Morning.
Good morning. My name is Richard Withers. I'm at with the firm of Bogan Munns and Munns, 2601 Technology Drive, Orlando, Florida 32804. And I'm sorry I didn't catch the case number. I'm here today for LR4. That's CEB020944. And I'm happy to wait my turn for that.
But
that
case.
Number four. But they're all the same owner. It's all the same property address, 2, 3,
and 4.
Number
3 also.
Okay.
I believe on the lien review paperwork, the requester has indicated that they would be willing to pay, or they're planning on paying, 1 and 2 as the administrative fine.
Right, $250.
$250, and so
okay.
That's correct.
Pay for those two amounts.
Okay.
So the lien review number 4 would be the only lien remaining.
Number 4, huh?
Only one of four. Just for the record, case number CB0408112, lien review number two. As the secretary has indicated, the respondent's counsel has indicated that they will be paying the $250 administrative fee. Do you have an indication as to when that will be paid, Mr. Withers?
I'm sure within 10 days.
Okay.
You're late.
And for the record, again, lien review number three, case number 12083451524, Florida Street, Deutsche Bank. Again, in this case, the representative for the respondent has indicated again that they will be paying the $250 administrative fee within 10 days. Lien review number four, CEB020944, 1524 Florida Street, Deutsche Bank. It's a lien review. The amount currently is $27,900 with interest of $348.60 with a total amount due of $28,248.60. Barbara, come on.
The city's requesting to reduce the fine to administration fees of $1,500.
Mr. Withers,
the building has been demolished. It is vacant. The land isn't worth more than $20,000.
Okay.
And the bank, I would point out, has taken a hit in excess of $136,000 on this property. Not a real good loan, but.
Members of the board have any questions or comments?
I can supply details supporting
sure.
why, but this, essentially the city is city administration is we're in agreement that that reduction would be significant.
And you pay that within 30 days, huh?
Yes.
So basically, you're getting
$2,000. Okay. Mr. Bourne, do you have a comment, question?
No, I would move for a reduction in the fine to $1,500 payable within the next 30 days.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne, a second by Ms. Hines. Any questions or comments by members of the board?
May I make a request for maybe a slight amendment? It would probably be easier for this client if we paid them all together. So if you're going to give us 30 days on this one, we'd like 30 days on the first two to make it consistent.
Do we need to amend the record?
You gave them 30 days on this one. I just want to make a motion to give the other two 30 days.
Thank you.
We'll make a separate motion then. We have a motion and a second. Are there any other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Would you like to make a motion, Ms. Hines, for lien reviews 2 and 3?
For case 2 and 3 to be paid within 30 days.
Right.
$250. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, members of the board.
Thank you, City. lien review number 5, CEB 020842, 1300 3rd Street, Natalie James. Good morning.
Can I interrupt this one second?
Sure.
This is again on case number 4. I just went over to city staff, and I got a copy of the letter approving our application that they issued. Apparently, Colleen had not been involved in the final process, so that when the inspector had the opportunity to talk to her, she was unaware that this had taken place, and I can understand the confusion. But I'd like to put this letter into the record that it has been approved and that we're moving forth in accordance with the terms of this letter, which is to get the final improvements, to get the final permits.
You can just give it to the secretary. Thank you. Do you have a copy also?
Yeah, I have one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to provide copies to the inspector.
Great. Thanks. Again, lien review number 5. Is the respondent present? Again, that's CEB 020842, 1300 3rd Street, Natalie James. What can you tell us, Robert? We can do that. Does the board agree with that? Just maybe holding off on this one?
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, the respondent is supposed
to come. Respondent opportunity to arrive. Okay. We're going to move forward with the hearing of the cases. Case number 1, CEB 0505215, Masonic Lodge. Morning, Michael.
Yes. Good morning. My name is Michael Mitch. I'm the president of Patona Lot number 36.
And you have some handouts that were provided
from. Mm-hmm. Mark, what would you like to tell us?
If you recall, the prior meeting with the gentleman here that spoke out about certain issues that were outstanding at the property. I did go by and review them, and I told Michael about any shortcomings that there were, but I really couldn't find the issue that he was talking about when there was a window standing open.
Okay.
But again, Michael went down and again looked at it, and being kept up as best as possible for conditions of building. And I'm satisfied with that. He has submitted a report to you for what's going on with the grant issues.
Mm-hmm.
I've perused it shortly, you know, at the meeting, and it appears to be things are moving along as he's indicated last time. So, with that, I'll just turn it over to Mike.
Okay. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Read your notes regarding the ECHO grant, and it appears as though there were there's a lack of funding.
Yes.
Go ahead. What can you tell us about the situation?
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I didn't hear the question.
What information can you provide us with additional funding opportunities or that you may have or that you're exploring? So
right now, the only thing that I have is what before you in the packet, and then we do plan on making sure that we meet the net ECHO grant board that's going to be taking place in August, and the packet is ready for to send to Tallahassee in August when that day is due. So basically, just what I gave to you today is where we're at right now. And I just wanted to make sure that you had something in writing from me and to verify that everything we're saying to you is accurate. I'm one of those folks that believe in talking cheap, and when you put it in black and white, then you know we mean business. So I wanted to make sure that you understand. I appreciate the board working with us, but I wanted to present these elements to you so that you can see where we're moving from here. But right now, that's all I can say is what we have for you in your packet.
The submission date is scheduled for the 31st. Did it give you any notice as to when they would be given the awards?
That won't happen until after the board and it's been approved, and they sent out the letter down as to what date the money would be awarded.
Did they give you any time frame?
No.
No. Okay.
On the ECHO grant, this date is passed for this year, so you're talking about next year?
The ECHO grant.
Just did the ECHO grants yesterday.
Right. Next year.
So you will have to go. Are you going to plan to go to the workshop?
I want to make sure, but I even plan on taking the day off to make sure that I'm going to be the one that's going to actually be there for that grant assessment. So it's already in my plan to make sure that I'm off to meet that requirement for that grant.
Yeah, because the next ECHO grant actually will be issued in this time next year in March.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Any other questions or comments by members of the board?
I'm glad to note the respondent's appreciation, because this case goes back to September the 26th of 2003.
Yes, sir.
And I can only hope that you and Mr. Ellison and this board last long enough to see a happy conclusion to the case.
Godfrey, I do too, sir.
How long of an extension do we need, Mark?
If you recall, 6 months ago I asked for the plot to start, and then when it comes up again, we could just deal with it at that time, so we could stop having to bring him back, and then when he's done, he's done. I'm in a position for that again, for a compliance state, if you'd like to do that, and consider any fines at a later time, so we don't have to continue this. But last time I asked him, it was denied. So the city's in a position for a compliance state, where we would ask for a compliance state. But as Michael's made an elegant point, this is in stages. This is stages that he is going through. And I'm sympathetic, but as has been duly pointed out to me, this case has been going on as intervened for a great period of time.
Well, our agenda says we're set for a progress report today. I think perhaps we need a compliance date, and then we can have a small fine of some kind or whatever the board wishes to do. Are we in the position to impose a fine today?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Why not just a compliance? I would suggest a compliance date of next month, and then we can impose the fine that you suggest.
Okay, and I'll get with Michael as to when this ECHO date is going to be, and maybe have that information for him.
Tony.
The compliance date for next month, based on what you and the kids have to do, is not easy.
No,
it's visible.
It's going to probably be 3 months.
Okay, well, yeah. What I was asking in terms of reasonableness, if we're going to establish a compliance date, my opinion is that we need to establish it with a reasonable time form of compliance. Now, understanding that, I guess if you were to demolish it, possibly it could be done in a month, maybe not even then, it would probably take 2 months, but if he's already been putting time and cost, probably reasonableness would be associated to what, if he had the money to pay, how much time should it take for him to be able to complete the job.
Mr. President, before you, could you educate me on compliance? Because understanding what compliance is, I'm going to have a major problem.
Yeah. What Mr. Ellison and Mr. Jackson are really saying, Michael, is when will you have the work done? When will it be up to code?
That's my problem. I don't even standing here telling you that I'm going to have the work done in 3 months. Because if we're going to do that, we might as well go ahead and do what we're going to do today. Because it's not going to happen in 3 months.
Well,
I cannot guarantee you, Mr. President.
We understand also that it probably won't happen in 3 months.
Right.
But if we impose a fine, you'll have the opportunity to come back before the board and have a lien review, and we could possibly reduce the fine.
Or even wait.
Or eliminate the fine.
To keep people from having to come back month
by month. However, I just don't want two things. I don't want the building to be talked about demolishing, because that won't happen.
Right.
Number two, I'm going to do everything the board instructed me to do. But I know for a fact, I'm not sitting here trying to pull the board and tell you that it's going to be done in a year. I cannot guarantee you that. I will not guarantee you that.
The board needs something, Mike.
But the only thing I gave you is what I gave you.
Nothing.
Right.
Right now, they can't do anything. This is a progress report.
Right.
They may very well give you more time.
Amen.
We need to have it on the agenda to take action. If the board wants to
take action. Okay. And I understand that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Mr.
Okay.
President. Thank you.
All
right. I'm ready to go with.
Say this for the record. I think this is, I don't know when it started. It's been a number of years.
Seven.
2000.
Almost seven.
Almost half a year.
Yes.
And quite honestly, I was probably one of those that was up in the air about the whole thought of a fine when it was suggested before. From an administrative perspective, and I don't know how this works for Michael and I, but from an administrative perspective, it's a case that's been open for 7 years, and no one's saying that they haven't been operating in good faith or been making an effort to try to counter this. But as we look down the road, we really still left with the question of when, if ever. But I mean, that's where we're left with knowledge that we don't have an answer to the when, and administratively, this case can
at least from what we left with Mr. Ellison, responding, making sure he continues to keep it orderly as expected, but no necessity for Mike to have to come back every quarter and talk to you guys and tell you his progress. Just when it's done, and then come and tell you, okay, it finally happened, here's how we did it, and then y'all can either celebrate or sanction.
Okay. I think it was Dr. Bannerman who had a problem with, and I shouldn't say problem, but who took issue with the imposition of a fine, maybe last meeting, well, the last time we were here. But I tend to agree that we need to have some type of foundation or a target date or something. And there's always the opportunity, Michael, that you can always come back and ask, do we reduce the lien or waive the lien completely?
Yes, sir.
You know, so it's not that we can impose a fine and maybe not consider reducing a fine if necessary. You'll have that opportunity, but we won't be able to impose a fine today anyway.
All right, sir.
But we'll try to get it on next month's agenda or the following month.
That's the question of the council. I'm wrestling with the thought. My better ask is possibly doing, I've been understanding that it's on this agenda as a progress report, possibly doing a fine certain for 3 months down the road, and I don't know if that will be something.
No, we can do this. I said for
eight.
Put it at the next meeting and do a fine certain for 3 months down the road.
Okay.
Do that.
Yeah, want to toss it out.
It's not set for eight, we can post fine today. Let's maybe the best thing is put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
And we got to look at this after do whatever we want.
Sure.
Or nothing.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments by members of the board? Okay.
So the April 1st compliance date and then hearing to impose fine at the next meeting?
No. Well, can we do that?
Yeah. You say the next meeting to make this decision.
Oh, yes. Well, the decision, but it's going to be on the next agenda.
Right,
and on March 11th, I mean, March 8th meeting.
I mean, we understand that's not likely to
right.
What we
right.
started before. It's not
right.
likely to compliance in April,
right.
and probably, ultimately, could be subject to challenge. But the reality is that we don't expect it to hold until an April 1st date. But it just puts it in a proper posture for us to be able to deal with it appropriately in April.
Thank you, sir.
So we can set the April 1st compliance date and maybe set an amendment of the order.
And April 8th, you'll have to do whatever you want at that point.
Right.
Find it,
okay.
Instead of fine, it's not in the future. You give more time. We don't have it on the agenda for a hearing to impose fine because it's not a progress report.
Does everybody understand?
Yeah, I don't think Michael understands it. You're talking.
Yeah,
okay.
But one thing I just realized: April 1st, that's the first week in April, right? I'll be in a pastoral conference in Orlando. April 8th.
Second.
Okay, the second week. All right. April 8th. I'll be back.
Yeah. Okay.
If not, I come back. If not, I have my vice president here. Somebody will be here, Mr. President.
All right. Chair would entertain a motion. I'll allow an respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
Case number two, CB060997, Beaches Fish Camp LLC in Atlas, Florida, SPE LLC. They're here for a progress report.
You should have an email from
And a compliance date has been set for May 5th, 2010. Is there any questions or comments by members of the board? And the secretary has provided a copy of an email. Okay. Moving on, case number three. Did you want to make comments?
No, I'm just saying that they already started the asbestos removal and the down ball. They will definitely
Great.
Be down.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Yeah. Case number three, CEB 08091 58, Brian Gillespie LLC, 54, and Ocean Waters Land Company LLC. Mr. Respondent present. Good morning, Steve.
This is in good morning. Compliance 3-3. The last thing that we had an issue with was the fence, the irrigation, and the sod, and it is in. And we've taken 10 months to get it down, but it's done.
Okay. What was the date again, Steve?
3-3.
Thank you.
3-3. Okay, we have disposed of case number four. Case number five, CEB 1209215, Karen Gaynor. It's 800 Derbyshire Road. Is respondent here? Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning.
I don't think she's here. What can you tell us about it?
We're here today to impose a fine. However, they've been very cooperative. It's taken some time. We've had a couple inspections already. They failed, and they repair. And I think the important thing is they are being cooperative, and they are trying and doing their very best to get the license. Okay. So I would request that we amend one more time.
Okay. Until our April 1st cutoff date?
Yes, please.
Chair would entertain a motion and allowing we're amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $10.50.
That's so moved.
Motion. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Brown or
Dr. Barnes.
Mr. Barnes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number six is in CEB 101-1010 is in compliance of the 211-2010. Excuse me. Case.
Combined.
Can we skip the case 34? Fire inspectors here for it's just an occupational license thing.
Sure.
We can get him out of here.
Case number
34. This is the last one. So you have to sit the
I'm going to move out of order just for a couple of minutes and go to case number 34. Case number 34 is CEB 031059, Kingston Avenue LLC and Product Quest Manufacturing LLC. Good morning.
Good
morning. Would you raise your right hand and be sworn?
My name is Rick Webb.
Sorry?
Right.
R-I-B-I-K.
Yes,
Brian Siegertson. Okay, and Mr. Webber, are you here on behalf of?
Product Quest.
Both of you here from Product Quest?
Yes.
Okay, we have no one here from Kingston
Avenue
LLC.
Okay. John, what can you tell us?
My name is Rick Webb. I'm
hold
the principal.
A moment. Let me hear from the inspector first.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This case was generated from the fire inspector's inspection for the occupational license on this property, and he will be here to testify to this finding.
Okay.
Well, the original inspection was April 27th of 2009, and there was a list of violations, and everything has been taken care of except for a sprinkler issue, which is a high pile storage beyond the limits that of a 12-foot high limitation of the product that they're storing, and they've got the product about 16 or so feet high, which is, I do have a letter here.
Steve, so let me have you move over to the mic, if you would.
So there is one final outstanding issue, which is a high pile storage of their commodities in the warehouse beyond what's allowed by the sprinkler code. And I have given them ample time to take care of the problem, and upon previous re-inspections, they have not taken care of the problem to this point.
Okay. Gentlemen?
Scott and I are both principals of Product Quest, and in order to request your assistance in this case, I need to tell you a little bit about who we are. We all The ownership, the management of Product Quest came out of the old Hawaiian Tropic Company. But unlike Hawaiian Tropic making a brand, we make private label sun care and skin care. So a lot of people don't even know we exist because we don't put our name on the product. But if you go into a Walgreens or a CVS or a Rite Aid or a Dollar General or a Family Dollar and you look at the private label sun care and skin care products, we make hundreds of products for those companies. One of our main piece of our business is private label sun care. Coming out of Hawaiian Tropic, of course, that's our forte, that's our strength, that's what we know the best. And we make all of those great products for Walgreens and CVS and some of these other accounts. The problem with that for us right now is that sun care, we ship 80% of our entire year's business in this next 3 months, March, April, and May, 80% of that business. We rented this facility in order to expand. We have 68,000 square feet on the corner of Fentress and 3rd Street, or excuse me, Carswell and 3rd. And we rented this building in order to keep manufacturing in our existing building and to have room for finished goods to store them and prepare them for shipment and then do the shipping from that facility. When we first looked at this, we weren't aware of the situation, and we were putting our pallets four high. And we have that place packed full of four high pallets and also have a lot of containers also in our north yard full of components and chemicals, mainly for this busy manufacturing time. We lowered the four pallets down to three pallets to try to be in compliance.
Mr. Webb, let me interrupt you just for a moment. What you're here for today is for lack of an occupational license.
Right. That's the reason why we can't get it, is for the next 3 months we have so much product stacked in this warehouse that we're shipping out. In 3 months it'll be basically gone and we'll be able to comply. There's two things that we would ask you to do. Either, and I'm not sure what you're able to do for us, but if you could allow some kind of variance for that height so that we could at least stay three pallets high for the next 2-3 months to get this product shipped out.
Yeah, this board doesn't have that authority.
Or to give me an extension of 90 days in order to be able to ship that product out. It's going to be a real hardship on us to try to find a place to put that product. We're packed to the gills, and it's going to be very difficult on us to do this. And we're not somebody who wants to be out of compliance. We didn't do this on purpose. We agree with everything that's said here. We agree with the charges. But we've got a real problem. We're trying to buy a building. We're looking at the Radon building now in order to have this problem taken care of long term. But for now, we're
at 3 months. Let me take care of something just real quick administratively based on your last comment. Do you agree that the conditions existed at the time of notice, that you were not in compliance at the time that you were notified?
No, absolutely not. No, we did not know that. No, the building was not in real good...
Do you agree now that you are out of compliance?
I agree that, as the gentleman said, they're asking us to be 12 feet high. I thought we were 14. He said 16. I'm not going to argue that because I don't really know that, but we are.
Give me just one moment then. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's just something administratively that we have to do. Okay. Mr. Jackson, do you have comments?
Yes. Is Mr. Jennings?
No, Mr. Jennings is out of town.
Okay. Well, we have a letter from Mr. Jennings dated February 15th, 2010. I believe it's part of your passion,
yes.
Mr. Chair, and unless the board has it. But the letter from Mr. Jennings asked for a simple request. He asked if it was possible that this could be extended until March 31st. And as I look at that, that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. That's basically saying, can we have for the next cutoff to have this done? And that seems like something that Mr. Jennings lists himself as the...
He's a CFO. He's our CFO, right.
Okay. And we have an inspector that's saying this has been going on since
April 27th, 2009.
So for a year, with the hope, and I don't know if they've been promises before, here's a realistic
expression of a time period, and now we're asking for another 90 days, which starts the legal question, is there a real time period that it could be accomplished, or are we just kind of reaching until...
In response to that, we really have no choice but to solve it. In 90 days, that's when our lease is up, and if we can't function in this building, we're going to have to leave it and try to lease or buy another building. That's why we're looking at the Radon building. We have no choice. We can't function. We'd have to take a whole pallet off and be only too high in the entire facility, and we can't function that way. So
this has become a point of convenience for the extent of the lease and not for network.
No, it just happens to be that. I mean, if you hold us to that two pallets high, we can't survive in this building. As soon as we have to get out of there as quick as we can.
No, it sounds to be a fire safety issue, but I just
wanted
to make those
points. You're the tenant of the league. You have the owner of the
building.
You're just the tenant.
Right, yeah. We own the company, but
we... The
property owner is not here.
No, but yes, he's not a property owner. And that Kingston Avenue LLC and the property owner?
Correct.
I presume that the height is a danger. Marsh, is that what you're saying?
Based on the National Fire Code standards and the letter that I circulated from Wigginton Fire Systems, it does specifically point out the storage should be no higher than 12 feet, and this was given to them. It is not dated, but it was given to them, I believe, around June, a few months after the initial inspection. So they were aware of the 12-foot limitation based on the commodity, which is a Class 4 commodity, and there is fire hazard. It is a fully sprinkler building. But that system is an older system, and basically with the fire load that they have, the sprinkler system may not function fully, and that was the reason for this letter from Wigginton Fire System stating they're not in compliance.
Okay.
Mr. Stevenson, what other types of structures or dwellings are around that particular building?
It is relatively isolated next to the tracks there.
Okay.
It would get into a building safety issue, possibly for employees and occupants of the building, and of course could be an insurance problem if they say you have a fire in here and it's beyond the system capability.
Right. Okay. Who has the letter? John, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation, that have to be referred to fire inspector.
I would say my recommendation would be that I would like to get compliance as soon as possible, and I have been promised a couple of dates on this, and I have not been seeming to. They work with me on their initial violations, but on this, I don't feel that they have made any genuine effort to complete it to this point. They have had plenty of time.
Based on that, Mr. Stevenson, what do you feel should we possibly consider as a compliance date?
Next cutoff, we can
April 1st. Okay.
I don't like to see additional hardship. Our economy is fragile enough. I think we ought to allow a 60-day period to come into compliance. Otherwise, we return to the board for the imposition of a substantial fine. It looks as though this matter should be resolved by that time.
Mr. Chair, because this is an occupational license, our maximum fine is a $250, right? Or can it be increased?
Isn't the state mandate
$250? I don't know that answer.
Well, the occupational license fine is $250, but there's going to be some other issues that you haven't cited with. I mean, you're occupying a building that they're not complying with code.
As far as the code violation is not facial license. That's my case.
Well, that's it. That's what we have. It's front of us.
So that's the $250 maximum, right?
Right. Doing business.
I can assure you, when you give us the date, we'll comply. Whenever that is, we need more time, but we will comply.
But did I not hear you say that you were looking at 3 months, and our Sveron is asking for 60 days?
Well, even 60 days is better than what we have. We can ship a lot of product in 60 days and give us more opportunity to move that top layer back off and find space for it.
My concern is there's a possible fire hazard. Yeah. That would be my concern.
But they're charging you with that, though. You don't have an occupational license.
Okay.
But
if I may, Mr. Castillo, they're charging them with not having an occupational license, but their inability to obtain the license is the necessity for making the adjustment. So I think it's reasonable to at least consider the necessity for making the adjustments as part of the determination that you're making concerning their ability to come into compliance. Mm-hmm. They can't come into compliance unless they make the changes that are being made.
Yeah,
okay. Obviously, we've got a problem here that could be very dangerous. The question is, as a board, are we giving the next cutoff date, or are we giving the cutoff date after? We have to take some action. Okay, let's sit.
Does the board have any suggestions? Mr. Barnes?
I still feel that I'd like to move that we allow a 60-day period within which respondents should come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine.
Would that be our
up to $1,000 per day?
2010 compliance date?
May.
Yes.
May 5th.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Gentlemen, we've allowed you until May 5th to come into compliance.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
In your own situation, you want to do everything you possibly can.
Oh, I know.
To meet the fire code, because you've got a problem out there. And you can be in the
live box. I know. We're scrambling. You know, this whole season's... Yeah, the whole season's been delayed with the snow and the rain, and, you know... So.
Actually, we dispose of that. Two is just a lot of complaints.
Oh, seven.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Case number 7, CEB 011016, Helen J. Rutter is the respondent here. 429 Brentwood Drive. Good morning. Raise your right hand and be sworn.
John Kramer.
Sorry, Kramer?
Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R.
Mr. Kramer, what is your relationship with the respondent, Helen J. Rutter?
I'm her caregiver for the last 15 years.
John, what can you tell us about it?
I began this particular case December of 2009. However, this particular piece of property has an extensive history for the violations that are being cited now. Right now, as of my last re-inspection on the 4th of this month, the pool has come into compliance. Outside of the pool coming into compliance, there's not been a whole lot of other progress on the property. As you can tell by the pictures, there's still quite a bit outside, quite a bit of foliage there. I believe there's still a non-conforming use of living in the RV, along with roof issues on the house and the garage. So ultimately, it's still non-compliant, and it seems like that condition of fine $50 per day at $10.
Mr. Kramer, what would you like to say?
Well, sir, like I said, we got the pool. She's been over 1,000. This is an elderly, 87-year-old woman. She's cleaned out her savings on this, trying to get this property. The foliage, I hired two people plus a hauling company to come out. They took three loads. We took all the dead out, mowed the entire property. It's back to its original state. It's been for 55 years. Her and her husband, deceased husband, bought this land so they could live like this, and we're surrounded by vacant property, and it's all growth on either side of us. But we spent 3 days out there. We got, I think it looks beautiful. The pool has been done. She spent over $1,000 on the pool. It was completely full of mud from the floods we had last year. We had to repipe it completely, put all new plumbing in because they were packed full of sugar sand and silt. So we got that done. I've got a letter here from roofing companies that will not re-roof the garage because of its foundation. They suggested it be torn down, so we're now dealing with the insurance company to come into compliance with that, to just tear it down and rebuild the garage. It was not made with pressure-treated wood, so we've got a lot of rot around the footer and the foundation. And I went up to inspect it and actually fell through the roof and in a spot that looked like it was just fine. But it's in bad shape. It's got to come down. And over the years, before I got there, she had a number of people do repairs, and they just put in a patch here and a patch there and just overloaded it, and it's not done right. So I agree, it's got to be torn down. And her insurance company is supposed to get back with her sometime this week. And I've got a crew all ready to tear it down and haul it away. The same hauling company, in fact, that took everything out of the yard. And with the motor home, we have a problem with the homeless sleeping in these surrounding properties. We have had for years. This pool requires a heating system. It's a $5,000 heater. And the last one, along with the radiator, brand new $400 radiator out of this motor home, they hopped our fence, took the radiator, dismantled the $5,000 heater, and took all the coil out of it and the aluminum, and took the pump motor and took the motor for the pool system. And since then, with me living in the motorhome, I have this woman to take care of from the morning. From the time she gets up, I get her out of bed, I put her on the toilet, I change her shower, I get her breakfast, I get her lunch, I get her mail. I put her to bed, take her to church on Sundays. I have to be with her. She cannot get up by herself. And she's got a bad bladder problem. So the motorhome is there, so it looks as if somebody is right next to all this equipment. If they assume that somebody's back there. I live in the house. I mean, it's got no water, no heat, no air. But it looks like somebody is living back there. We haven't had a problem since. So I put timers on lights, a radio that plays outside the unit, so you can hear it playing in the yard.
Mr. Kramer, you sort of just contradicted yourself. You said,
I'm sorry?
At one point, you live in the RV, and then you said you do not live in
it. No, I meant living in the house. I don't live in the RV. I'm saying it looks as if to somebody on the outside that somebody is back there, so that they don't come on the property, because there's nobody back. I've got film. If you've seen, it's far from the house.
But again, and you contradicted yourself. You said that you live in the RV, and then you said you don't live in the RV.
I'm sorry. I misquoted. I meant to say I live in the house, but I want it to appear by anybody on the vacant land around us, the homeless, that somebody is either there or going to be there at any time. Because they've just robbed this mine. We've had generators stolen. They come on the property. One time they were using the pool to bathe. You know, now we've got a security cameras out there. We have that for the last year.
Well, you do understand that. Well, I would assume you've been here at least once previously, that you are not allowed to live in the RV. That's against city code.
Yeah, we got violated 3 years ago.
And there's not any other party or person living in the RV either.
I'm the only one there.
Okay, what about the rodent harborage?
I'm sorry?
Rodents. What are you doing about the rodents?
We don't have. I've got a letter here from an exterminator. We have an exterminator she has had for the last 40 years. He comes out once a month, the first two, and he's got a letter here. He's never seen our neighbors now to our left. Their garage is packed full of them, and every time they mow their property, they have a big company come out with the big equipment. We have rats, and I bait, and they're gone the next day. But they're... don't have any rats. And I got a letter from an exterminating company stating that they've never seen a rat on the property.
How soon do you think that you'll be able to demolish the roof, I guess it was?
Well, we're waiting now for the insurance company. As soon as the insurance company comes out and inspects it, with an engineer, I imagine, I don't know how it's done. We're going to tear it down. We can tear it down in 2 days.
Do you have a time frame as to when they may be out?
I don't. They're usually pretty quick, though. In all the claims we've made, they get out there pretty quick. I would say within a month or within a week.
10 days.
Have you already called the insurance company?
Yeah, she called them last week, and they said they'd get back with her. They haven't. Well, actually, she called them Monday. Today's Thursday. Yeah, it'd be Monday.
And they didn't give a date when someone would be out?
No. She talked to some woman, and normally they to have somebody out within a week. But we told them what the problem is with the city and the code enforcement, that we need to have an inspector or an engineer come out. I didn't know if you all did the engine, you condemned it first, or how it worked. That's what I asked John, that if we needed it condemned. So
you mentioned earlier or previously something regarding the weeds and the overgrowth. What are you doing about that? I think you said you.
It's all been cut. It's all been cut down. It's this right here. If you see the pictures there. Now around the pool, she's a modest elder. You know, she goes out in her pool. That's what the heater's for. She keeps it high temp, so when she can get out there, she can use it for her body aches and stuff. And the foliage around the pool is so none of the neighbors can see her out there in her, you know, she's a short little portly
Here's
woman.
Here's a picture of some of the weeds.
This is not weed. This is plants around the screen of the. This is not weeds.
Not the city's code.
These are plants that surround the pool area, so it's privacy.
Oh.
But this is all my neighbor's land behind me.
Okay.
See, that's.
See, Mr. Kramer, do you understand that the weeds have to be mowed to city standard, not to what Mrs. Rutter thinks or what you think they should be mowed to or trimmed?
I thought we had. I'm sorry.
You can speak to John a little bit later about that. He can tell you exactly how they should be trimmed or mowed or removed.
That would help. We were out there for days, and like I said, three big truckloads of stuff. And right now, she told me this morning she's got $175 in her savings, and she's never had less than $5,000 at any time.
With that in mind, how long do you think it would take you to clear those weeds or the overgrowth?
The same time as before. If John can come out and show me what growth it has to go, then I can work with it. I can get friends out and help me at any time.
You can have it done by April 1st?
I believe we probably can. I'd have to check her finances. She gets a check once a month. She's on a fixed income. And we have to haul stuff away. And
John, do you think it would be reasonable to allow them until May 5th? Or do you think it should be done prior to that time, maybe the April 1st?
That's for the foliage, I'm sorry.
I think that would be reasonable if we can have a fine certain that's going to be backdated today.
Okay.
Let me, John, what's the problem with the RV? It's not operable. Why not remove it?
That's a very good question. I've presented that question to Mr. Kramer numerous occasions, and I'll let him in.
Well, it is operable. I said they stole the radiator out of it, but I've got receipts for the thing, and it's got a rebuilt motor in it, new generator, all new tires and rims.
But is the tag up to date?
Is it licensed?
No. I want to.
Okay.
John has since informed me that it's got to be registered. But when I went down to register it, they told me just turn the plate in. So I did, and then John said it has to be registered, even though I'm driving it or not. But it's operable with a radiator in it, but $400.
Unless it's licensed, Mr. Kramer.
So, I mean, I can get it registered and insured, no problem. But they just said turn the plate in.
Otherwise, it is considered a junk vehicle.
Okay. All right. I have no problem with that. I'll just get it registered.
And
operational, right. Okay. Do you understand that, Mr. Kramer?
I didn't understand that. Operation. I mean, I've got photos of all my neighbors. We've got boats, junk cars.
It has to be operable and licensed.
I didn't understand the operable. Like I said, it was running. I drove it back there. Yeah.
It has to be currently operable and licensed.
Well, I'm going to need a lot of time. I've got to need time for that. Like I said, they just took it apart without nobody out there. They just go out there and tear it apart.
May 5th, John?
With fine certain dated back to today.
Okay. What type of fine would you suggest?
$50 a day to be capped at $10.
Okay.
So move. I recommend that the fine be imposed dated back to today's date.
And we'll allow the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance. With fine certain data back to today, March 11, 2010, of compliance not achieved at $50 per day with a cap of $10,000.
Yes.
That's your motion, Mrs. Himes?
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? $10,000.
I think we're being a little bit harsh here. This is an 87-year-old lady. Her next check will come in April. I think we ought to give her... You're giving her 2 months? till May. I think the fine could be a little bit excessive, but be that as it may.
I thank you, sir. See, another thing, I have no income. This is...
Well, I was also looking...
When she got ill, I promised her that she would die in the house, just like her, both her husbands and her parents had died in that house. And I promised her that I would stay there. I'm sorry?
Saying that if everything goes and goes fine, there's going to be any fine. This particular problem, give it the code inspector, you know, it's back on the agenda. Something happens in the interim.
Yeah. Well, it's just saying she needs, we need the time because of her income, and I don't, this is my room and board with her. You know, and the occasional pack of cigarettes. I mean, money's an issue. But, you know, I wouldn't be good without her, and she wouldn't be good without me, you know. And I just made her a promise that no matter what, I would take care of her. And it's a full-time
what
job.
What you can do, Mr. Kramer, if you do run into any issues that Mr. Sino is indicating, you can speak to John, okay. Mr. Stinson. Let him know. If you communicate with him, I think it would be more than fair and work with you.
Okay.
And if he needs to come in and ask for an extension, I'm sure he'll be more than willing to do that.
Yeah, it's going to cost me more to get it running and keep it running. It's like I said, it's the radiator's right up front. I'm afraid to put another one in it. I'm really afraid. You know? As I said, they took her $5,000 heater and just turned it into $100 from scrap. It was a brand new $5,000 heater.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board?
Okay.
Hearing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Opposed.
You have one.
Are we sure that he understands
I'm going to explain it to him.
I understand.
What we've done is...
I understand. I appreciate it.
We're allowing you until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance. If you're not in compliance by that time, we will impose a fine effective today, March 11, 2010, at $50 per day until compliance is achieved.
I understand.
Again, if you're running into any problems, please contact Mr. Stinson, and he'll, I'm sure, again, work with you.
I thank you very much. I will do that.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Did I take any paperwork? Okay. Thank you very much.
Case number 8, CEB021021, Robert B. and Robert W. Hume. Mr. Respondent here.
Compliance 3-3.
Okay, thank you. Got him 100%, Steve. To expedite the cases, are there any respondents here that are present? Would you like to come forward, and we can just take your cases? Okay.
Case
22. Case 22. Case number 22, CEB031047, Mary L. Curry. Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you approach the mic, raise your right hand, and state your name?
My name is Clarence McLeod.
Which spelling is it, Mr. McLeod?
M-C-C-L-O-U-D.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I do.
What's your relationship to Ms. Curry?
We both own this property at 1097 Madison Avenue.
Do you have documentation to support that?
No, I don't. I didn't bring any documentation with me.
But you can provide it if necessary.
Yes.
Okay. Barbara.
Not compliant, that's cut off.
Okay.
They have to obtain an occupation, rental occupational license, repair the damaged roof. There is no heating in apartment B, so they have to install from a licensed contractor heating. There are ceilings that need to be repaired and painted, and they have started removing the outside storage.
Mr. McLeod, would you like to make some comments?
Regarding the outside storage, we've gotten all that taken care of. Regarding the heating, this is an older duplex. It's never had heat in there. The tenant in the unit that we're talking about, she's been there for over 8 years, and we've always utilized electrical portable heating units. So I feel that we shouldn't be required to install a heating system when that has never been the case. Regarding the roof, we're working on the roof as I speak. Today we have a roofer going over to take a look at what repairs need to be done. And we feel that we will have everything in compliance, including the occupational license, within 60 days.
I understand that the city requires that the unit has a heating unit, not a spatial heater?
No, I never
That's
knew that.
That's part of code.
Oh, okay.
Right. And a space heater sometimes creates a fire hazard.
Sure.
According to the tax parcel, it does show only Mary Hurry as the
owner.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. I think there was a discrepancy on the heater issue, wasn't there?
It actually shows in here that there never was one.
No. Can they have just space heater, or do they have to have a heater?
They have to have...
I thought there was a discrepancy.
It cannot be a space heater. It has to be an approved...
space heater?
No.
Has to be approved space heater?
No, not a space heater. An approved label. He could check with the building department, actually. You can't just put in a space heater in rental.
My question is, so are space heaters allowed?
No.
Or does it have to be central heat?
No, it does not have to be central heat. There are some approved heaters.
Gotcha.
It does not have to... Right.
So I just wanted to make sure he understands that.
Right.
It's the particular type of heaters.
Correct.
Yes.
That you can have. You can have heaters, what we call space heaters, but it's just a particular kind.
So whom would I check with to make sure we get the particular type that's required?
I would check with the billing department downstairs.
Okay.
What's approved here.
All right.
Now, Ms. McLeod, you said that you're the joint owner. Do you have any type of verification?
Well, she's the primary mortgage holder. I'm not on the property, but we are joint owners in this property. I have equal dollars, equal interest tied to this property.
So it sounds like you're an investor.
That I am.
Okay. But at this point, we don't have anything to confirm that you are an owner of the property.
No, I am an investor.
Okay.
And you're authorized to... handle this on our behalf?
I am authorized to handle this on our behalf.
Do we need to add him, Tony, or not?
Can you call
him? Doesn't sound like it.
She would have to verify. He's stating under oath that he has the authority to speak on our behalf if he's going to be in compliance.
Okay. Barbara, what was the time frame? Well, first of all, Mr. McLeod, do you agree that these conditions existed at the time of notice?
I agree.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion to find and respond in noncompliance.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? There are none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That was just an administrative task. We just took care of Mr. McLeod. Barbara?
Next cutoff.
Okay. April 1st. Is that reasonable for you, Mr. McLeod, to have these matters taken care of by April 1st?
Could we have until May 1st?
I think that's what he asked for.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000. In addition to that, also being returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've allowed you until May 5th, 2010, Ms. McLeod, to come into compliance. You also, keep in mind, you also have to obtain an occupational license before that time.
Absolutely.
Or you'll have to pay a $250 administrative fee, which involves an inspection of the property.
Right.
Okay?
All right.
Thank you very much. If you run into any problems, please speak to Ms. Collins.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Case number 17 is CEB 031042, Chris Pascalaskas and Chris's Gifts Incorporated. Come on.
Yes, it's actually private owned by Chris Pascalaskas, not my corporation, Chris's Gifts, but there's really no big difference.
Okay. I'm sorry, say your name.
Chris Pascalaskas.
Are we removing Chris's Gifts?
Yeah, that's a different separate corporation. It's privately owned by me, okay. Chris Pascalaskas.
Could you raise your right hand and be sworn?
Will you tell him the testimony
about
the truth,
the whole truth,
and
the
truth?
Yes.
Steve, are you speaking for Mike?
Yes, sir. I am presenting this case for Mike Fitzgerald, and his recommendation was noncompliance next cutoff.
Okay.
I was in negotiations to lease the property out with the agreement that they were going to fix it up and bring it up to code, but negotiations broke down last week. So I've hired a contractor, Augustine Construction, to get this property up to code as it is set forth in the paperwork that I got. I just need a little time to get the permits and to file for grants, because I'm in a redevelopment area and it qualifies for grants from the city. And that takes a little time, so I just need a little time to get the diagrams from the architects, to get the builder, to get the bids from several companies, other suppliers, to get it up to code. But right now I need just a little time. I am going to comply. It will be up to code because I'm trying to rent it. I can't rent it as it is now, obviously, from the damage that it took from the storm. But I have hired a builder, and we are going to comply. I just need to get work with Jean to get the grant, show her the bids, and then that way we can do the work.
Mr. Spalakis, do you agree that the conditions existed at the time of notification?
Yes.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Steve?
I do have history with this one. I had a violation notice on it about a year ago for the same process. At this point, it has quite a bit of storm damage. The structure is in very good shape. It's a very rehabable property. And now that things have changed a little bit, the house, or the structure, has only one portion of access that needs to be boarded up. The windows have been boarded. Everything's been taken care of. But I'd like to, I know that it's only for a determination of noncompliance, but I would like to see them allowed, because of the extent of the exterior damage, give them a couple of months at least to get prints in place and get all their engineering and all that stuff in process.
May 5th?
I'd like to get 90 days, but if May is... My builder speaks, because he knows a little bit more about timing.
Just raise your right hand and be sworn.
John Augustine.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears to me that what we need here is something fell apart on him like a week ago. He thought this thing was going to get leased out and somebody else is going to take on this burden. Immediately thereafter, he contacted me and we walked the property and did the sets, and I started doing an overview on what was going to be required to do the project. We've also put together the stuff for the funding with the cities, because they actually do some kind of match funds, or in the redevelopment area, it looks like they can give up to $6,000 on a facelift, which is exactly what this place needs. It's not beautiful. However, I have a pretty good reputation for going in and taking buildings like this and doing just what y'all like to see. And last year we did St. George Coptic Orthodox Church and turned that from an old building into a new one. When I do his building, it's going to do the same. But I know it's going to take longer than 60 days to put it together. And unless you just want to go through the exercise of Mr. Paspalakis having to come repeatedly to get extensions, I think that he's going to need at least 90 days. Now, 90 days, even if we're not 100% ready with the entire planning and the funding from the city and such, then we'll be able to bring you real something on paper that you're going to be able to see what our progress is towards that goal. Basically, bringing me into the project is what y'all want to see him do. So I will get this thing to completion.
90 days will be approximately June 2nd.
It's fine with me. As long as it's
Steve? Fine. How about an interim progress report?
Would it suffice if I just turn one in to this gentleman?
Yes.
And say
yes,
weeks?
You wouldn't have to come in. You can just provide it to the inspector.
How long do you think it'll take to get your permits?
Permits, I think I could probably achieve once plans are put together. I think it'd probably take y'all about 2 weeks to give me a permit.
Okay.
But I think that the actual, the preliminary before that's going to take me. It'll take me 2 weeks just to put the architect and this and that and set up our meetings.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you have plans in place already?
Because this is going to require an architect.
Okay. I'd like to see 30 days for the permits and a progress report in 60.
and then try to set compliance for the 90.
Now, can I pull a permit before we... I think you just got it backwards, right? 30 days for project support?
No, 30 days for permits, 60 days for progress.
Can I require...
I don't think you're going out of order, can I? I think we got that reversed.
No, you got the permits right away, right?
No, that's what I'm trying to say.
No, it's got to get the engineering and architecture work done first.
From day go, I'm doing good to start this thing in 90 days. So in other words, if you're telling me that in 30 days give you a progress report and 90 days go to permit, I think we could go that way.
All right, just a progress report in 60 days, please.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion allowing respondents until June 2nd to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So,
in addition to that, requiring the respondent to provide a progress report to the inspector for our May 13, 2010 meeting. And there was something else I was thinking about.
The issue of removing
Chris Gibbs.
I agree that the tax roll only shows the individual, not the business ownership.
Yeah, that's a separate question.
Chair would also like to, amend our order removing Chris's Gifts Incorporated from the case as an owner and showing that Chris Paspalakis is the sole owner of the property.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Tony. That's what I was trying to remember. Have we allowed you all, Mr. Paspalakis, 90 days to come into compliance, which would be our June 2nd, 2010 compliance date. And you have to provide, your builder has to provide a progress report to an inspector for our May 13th meeting. Okay? If you have any problems, please notify the inspector.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Number 26 is what I have next, sir.
Thanks.
Steve.
What was that number again?
26.
26, I'm 26. Sorry, sir. Are you 30? If this is 30, that's fine. I was trying.
26.
We're 26.
26, okay.
Case number 26, CEB031051. Is it Bahanan?
Yes. Good morning.
Incorporated.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
The one on contract is we're doing the process.
Okay. What's your name, sir?
My name's Dave Grandy.
I'm Mike Patel.
I'm sorry?
Mike Patel.
Mike Patel.
Mike Patel.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please?
Do
you
solemnly
swear
to
the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Steve? Yes, members of the board, this is for a determination of non-compliance, but this is also the wall that fell back in May of last year. In June 12th, I found it, we posted it. Actually put a perimeter tape because it had been left out rather hazardous to the community with no perimeter tape. I talked to the owners, posted it 612, CEB 1724. I've had numerous inspections, reposted it, and now due to DEP issues, this is still being held up. The green card, by the way, was 1022. Now, I did make contact with DEP. Their frustration is that they're the third determination, third revision, and now there's another complication where it has to go through zoning. What I need to do with this one is put a 10-day limit on the next permit, which goes through zoning, 30 days to get the final back to DEP. And from there, we need a progress report on it.
And what's the compliance date, Steve? What was the compliance date? What time frame?
This is their complication. I'd be hesitant to put a compliance date because there's so much involved. Mm-hmm. But I would like to see it pushed as much as possible. It's a hazard to the public. The other wall's getting ready to fall.
Okay. Gentlemen?
My name's Dave Grandy with the Excalibur Builders. I was hired by Mr. Patel when this first started. That was after that 100-year storm we had. I'd have to say our frustration with the DEP, this is, we just got this last Friday, the third request for additional information. And we've been working with them, but it seems like every time we submit something, there's another list. And we're to the point now, we're down to about three items now. So I feel much more confident now than I did a year ago. The thing is, what they threw at us just in this past letter is, like the inspector just said, we've got to go to code compliance now, which I don't know why they didn't tell us the first time. The first time they told us I had to go to the building department, which I did, but they never said anything about code enforcement. So I actually went there yesterday to speak to Colleen, but Colleen was sick. After this meeting, I'll go down again and see if she's back again. So it starts with a letter from zoning, okay? And then in the last paragraph that they sent us in this letter, now we've got to get a separate stormwater management permit. Newsflash, you know, they're telling us now that we need that. And this is what's been happening throughout this whole project. It's not like they don't want to do it. They've been calling me at least every other week. Dave, have you talked with DEP? Have you talked with DEP? And it's, you know, it's very frustrating. Yeah. So that's why it's even hard to put a time frame. See, with the inspection, it's hard to put in a time frame because we'd like to start it tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, they just, our hands are tied right now. Like I said, we're close to being there. However, now I've got to get with the stormwater management permit. I don't know what those people are going to request.
So they're saying before they give you a DEP permit, they want a St. John's permit.
This is just what happened last week. And I called yesterday. They called three times. I called three times. Answering machine. So we finally got a hold of David Krieger, who we've been the permit manager for DEP. He gave us another number to dial, which I'm going to call after this meeting to, you know.
Just for the record, I'm assuming that DEP is Department of Environmental Protection?
Yes.
Okay. How long do you think it will take, Mr. Coming to compliance?
Well, it all depends on what you want in compliance. Our main goal right now is to get a permit to do the work, okay?
Compliance would be that you will repair all of those things that are listed by the city inspector.
I'm sorry, pardon?
Compliance means that you will have accomplished or satisfied
all the... Okay, well, that... No. Okay, like I said, the first objective is to get the permit, okay? Which I'm assuming it's going to take at least 30 days, based on past, you know, correspondence with them.
Which got three permits.
Well,
John, DEP, and then the city.
Right? Yes. Now, let me. Excuse me. That St. John's one. They're saying it's under the jurisdiction of DEP, that stormwater management permit. So it technically isn't St. John's, I don't think.
St. John's. Okay.
But that's another permit. So, like I said, our main goal is to get the permit or permits, which I'm assuming is going to take at least 30 days. Okay, now I have permit in hand. This is at least a two-month project. Okay. From when I get the permit to start work.
You believe you might have the permits by April 1st?
No way. I mean, you could put that. It's not even the city's control.
I'm asking so that we can set something that's appropriate or reasonable.
No, I'd say May.
May 5th, you may have the permits. Do you believe you have the permits in hand by May 5th? Possibly.
Possibly.
And after that, the compliance date, maybe 2 months later, you might have compliance.
Right. The key is once the inspector sees permit in hand, now there's no excuse. Get your work done, you know, and progress with the job.
So we're talking maybe July 1st.
Yes.
Steve, how do you feel about that?
The last letter that I have from DEP.
Well, again, it doesn't matter what permit, as long as it's permit.
Dated January 15, where the addition of a seawall cap repair was noted on to DEP after the second revision, which created the other need for a different permit. And it is pretty frustrating to have this process go on, especially with the hazards that are involved. The city is at the point where, because of the hazards, we're just about ready to attempt to put a condemnation on that whole wall and deny access to the beach. That wall is tonnage. We just can't let it allow it to keep sitting there.
I'd almost give the recommendation where they get an attorney to help them get this process done. I can't really make that recommendation, but something needs to happen so that it's expedited.
Steve, is there another way for, let's say, guests of the property to enter the beach or access the beach?
They have a section where there's no wall. They have a sand hill going down the beach. It's hazardous. The other wall's getting ready to fall, and there's a pool. And the wall's on the north side, hazardous, chunks of concrete. And I also have a complaint from that neighboring property as well.
Question by any member of the board? Chair would entertain a motion requiring the respondent to secure permits by April 5th, 2010, and come into compliance by July 1st, 2010, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000. In addition to that, providing a progress report to the inspector no later than our May 15th, 2010 meeting?
Yes.
Is there such a motion?
Steve, I think you may have misspoken. You said April 5th?
Not April. I mean May 5th. May 5th,
and
yes.
May 13th.
May 13th meeting.
Okay. How is he going to be able to, by April 15th? To get
no, I meant, May. I misspoke. I meant to say May 5th.
Oh, okay.
I'll repeat that. Chair would entertain a motion requiring the respondent or his contractor to secure permits no later than May 5th, 2010, and provide a progress report to the inspector at our May 13th, 2010 meeting, and achieve compliance no later than July 1st, 2010, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Excuse me, I think we may be out of order because it's compliance or non-compliance first.
We did that.
You did that?
Yes.
I didn't think so. Okay, if we...
Well, that's included in your motion now.
I thought we did that. We can add... Okay. Chair, well, then, Mr. Graham, do you agree that the conditions existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
These conditions exist. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and requiring the respondents to secure permits by May 5th, 2010, and to provide a progress report to the inspector for our May 5th, 2010 meeting, and requiring the respondent come into compliance by July 1st, 2010, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved. So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Harrington. Pardon.
Before you motion on that, I'd also like to require that the property owners maintain a safety access to the beach, especially right now with our volume of people. Okay. At least maintain, and I know that I was out there on the 12th and they did have them up, but they have to be maintained, at least the OSHA perimeter barriers all along the face and all the way down to the stairwell.
Chair would entertain also an amendment to the motion requiring the respondent to provide safe access to the beach area from the property.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Well, were you amending your order, Mr. Harrington?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Harrington has amended his order. Mr. Brown, were you second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Harrington at the motion. Mr. Brown at the second.
Do you really like me to read that again, Amy?
That's a long one.
Can I speak again? Because there's another thing that's coming up, and you might know better than me. The turtle season. When is turtle season?
Okay, stay first.
Okay, well, I can't do work on the beach after. What's the time frame of working on the beach?
May 1st, October 30th.
We'll deal with that issue.
Again, I just, you know, we're... Okay.
We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Same sign. Are you clear on what we are requiring, Mr. Grandy?
Main thing is to get with the inspector and give him a progress report, I guess.
Well, basically, you have to have your permits in hand by May 5th, 2010.
Whatever
you have to provide a progress report to the inspector for our May 13th meeting. You have to achieve compliance by July 1st, 2010, or you'll be returned, or the respondent be returned to the board for for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. In addition to that, they're required to secure the area for safe access to the beach.
Yes, sir.
That is to take place immediately.
Okay.
And maintain a secure area, a safe and secure area for any tenants or any other individuals who may access the beach.
Okay, but and I understand all that. That's not a problem, but I would assume the board has an understanding that the permits are not in our control. It's in the state's control. And
if there's a problem,
you know, we're expediting it as fast, and we'll have documentation for that.
Once we've got the phone, we don't mind working. We've got the funds to do it.
If you run into a problem with the securing the permits, all you have to do is let the inspector know, and we'll be advised. That's,
okay.
And you can include that in your progress report as well.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Should be number 29. I have an extra gentleman.
Case number 29 is CB031054, Ismael L. Lopez.
Good morning. I'm sorry. Yes, it's Miguel Angel. I'll spell it MIGUELANGEL. That's one name. Lopez, last name. I'm representing my brother, yes.
And it was Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez, do you have the authority to speak on behalf of your brother?
Yes, I do.
Okay, would you raise your right hand and be sworn by the Secretary?
Yes, I do.
John, what can you tell us?
There's a will plan in place on this property from 2007 for violations of parking, outside storage, all the things that are in my notice of violation.
Okay.
I've been working with Mr. Lopez. I think I've been more than reasonable with the amount of time and leniency the city's given for him. But now it's time to actually move forward with this little plan, because the city spent a lot of time and energy to try to bring this area back into compliance.
Do you have any comments, Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Everything was done. Was okay for a while. My brother is not aware of the property being where it is, because he lives in California. He was taking care of our mother, who just passed away. And for the last year or so, I've been kind of traveling back and forth out there, so I haven't really been at the property. I had several friends of mine donate stuff to me because we're renovating and doing stuff. They did not adequately store it. They put it behind my boat that I have over there. I kind of don't really live. I live on the property and another facility. My brother has several houses, so it's kind of like a work in progress. But anyway, while I'm gone, they put this stuff out there, and I'm back and forth. It's kind of hard to move it. You know, I have a little bit of problem with my right arm right now. I've had some pain for quite a while. I don't really have the help to move things. When I came back, my truck was down, you know, that sort of thing. But it's been in compliance since 07, and the only reason why it got to this point is because I wasn't there when people were being generous, and I had to tell them. They didn't know we had a will fine order or anything on that property, as far as that's concerned. But I started working with Mr. Stinson. He's been very, very helpful, very lenient. And a lot of times, whenever I get ready to start working on something, I'm gone again.
Okay.
So it's been that sort of thing. But the property is clear right now. I had pictures to show you. He had come by last night. This yesterday morning. Asked me could he come by later on in the afternoon, but he said he could not. But everything you see there is totally cleared.
All of the junk vehicles are gone?
Yes. There weren't any junk. Only junk vehicles. There was. What had happened was they had some relatives that had put some vehicles on the property, and without me knowing, I had to come back and move them. But I couldn't move them because I had no keys at the time, and they have been vandalized. Okay, windows busted out, that sort of thing. We have a problem with that on that street for some reason. I don't know why. Because the adjacent property is my parents' property, which we may discuss as well, and we have vehicles vandalized there as well. So they may have put them inside the fence. That's why the cars may have been parked inside. Like the burgundy van there was outside the fence. The window was busted out.
So you're saying everything has been taken care of?
Yes, sir.
And your brother, I would assume, is aware that there was an order in place since July 10, 2007, for will fine to be imposed if there were other occurrences.
Correct.
Such as this, which we can impose a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence. John, what's your recommendation?
I recommend at this time, I would like a $200 fine.
Okay.
If the property is in compliance, which will have to be inspected today, but definitely $200 fine one time. Question is that, does that will fine stay in place?
We were talking about this, but I just a thought, if I could make a suggestion here. We have the ability to request a sanction to the Board of Course, and per occurrence, and we don't know if it's a continuous circumstance at this point because it has been inspected. He's advising that it's violators advising that it's in compliance, and an inspector acknowledges that he was called late yesterday with that, indicating that it's in compliance and that's nothing. I think what will probably be most prudent, and to see just to see what things before y'all can want to talk about it, would be to, at least from the perspective of the cities, to ask for a one-time fine based upon the knowledge of the single event, but also ask that give them 30 days to comply or be subject to additional fine. And at least that, you know, the next cutoff, and that allows the inspector to go out and verify the compliance. It doesn't eliminate the sanction for the will fine, but it allows for it to be in a proper posture if it is still in non-compliance.
So you are saying impose the $200
fine
of $200 and continue with the will fine.
Yes, and you
keep that in place.
As Mr. Siegel said, as a fine certain that would start the day after his deadline of compliance, or you can wait and have him come back and address an additional fine.
I think it would be easier for all parties just to do a fine certain. Any questions or comments by members of the board?
What does that mean exactly?
Hold on just a moment.
I'm sorry.
Chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent at one time fine of $200 and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to achieve compliance based on inspection of the city inspector and maintaining fine certain or will fine for any additional occurrences of violation.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Was that appropriate, Tony?
Confused now. What would be the new fine?
If there are other occurrences.
If April 1st comes and it's still in violation, what's the fine?
Yeah, that's the part that was missing. But when you say fine certain, you're actually imposing something that will go into effect. That's what I've called the springing fine before. That's something that will spring into effect.
Day fine on that day. April 1st, April 2nd.
Okay. John, do you have a amount in mind?
$200.
Again?
Daily.
Daily.
Daily. $25 a day.
Chair would entertain a motion amending the previous order and fining the respondent $200, a one-time fine of $200. In addition, allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance or impose a fine of $25 per day effective April 1st if compliance is not achieved, or April 2nd? Okay.
I mean, I think it's proper to backdate it to,
March 11th. Okay. Okay.
I think let's just answer to the motion based upon the fact that he's a repeat violator.
Okay. amending that order, finding the respondent a one-time fine of $200 and allowing the respondent until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance if a compliance not achieved by April 1st, 2010, fining respondent $25 per day effective today, March 11th, 2010, based on the information that is provided indicating and verifying that the respondent is a repeat violator.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Lopez, we fine you a one-time fee of $200. We are allowing you until April 1st, 2010 to come into compliance. Excuse me. If a compliance is not achieved by April 1st, we will fine you the amount of $25 per day effective today until compliance is achieved. And that's based on the fact that the property has been in violation previously. Okay? Do you have any questions?
Is there any way we cannot pay that?
No.
Okay. How will I know what, is it going to come out today? Okay. One more second.
Mr. Chairman, is he asked then not to pay the will fine or the
$200? But he received something from the police department as well. Is it possible that he can receive one as well? Because that's how he keeps abreast of what's going on. I think that's what we had last time.
I have his address. It's 14160 Rosto Boulevard, Apartment
of
Panorama City.
And that's it.
Okay, that's where everything was sent. I just didn't know if there was another free address.
Can we have one sent to me as well?
Sure.
Or hand it to me?
Yeah.
The 5659. Well, actually send it to 567.
567?
Yes. Byron Avenue. Daytona Beach 32114.
Thank you.
How soon do we have to pay this?
10 days.
The posting?
The update of non-compliance does have that address.
Okay.
You have 10 days to pay it, Amy? We didn't set a time frame.
Is it just when you can get the paperwork, or is that how long does it take for me to get it done?
Yes. He's asking when does he have to pay the $200?
10 days from the day he receives the paperwork, so that's a couple of days. We'll just send a letter.
Next week?
10 days from the date of receipt.
Okay.
That's fine.
Thanks, Ms. Lopez.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. I guess we don't have any other response.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's take a short 5-minute break before we proceed with the cases.
Mm-hmm.
Should be able to get out of here soon, quickly. Just for 5 minutes. Yeah.